Good morning.
Morning.
Once again, I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I'm glad to be a child of God. I'm glad to be in His employ. As always, my goal and my aim is to be pleasing and honoring unto God. And so in everything I do, not just preaching or teaching or whatever else we may do for the Lord, but I want you in all things want to be pleasing and honoring unto God. And so I desire your prayers this morning. I have something that I know the Lord gave me, but when you have something from the Lord, like I said before, that we know the Lord has given you, man, the enemy always shows up and he tries to hinder it. So if he can't hinder it from coming out of my mouth, then he wants to hinder it at your ears. And so be praying not only for me, but I want to encourage you to be praying for your own self so that you can receive what the Lord has given us today. I want to receive it as well. So be praying for us this morning. The title of this discourse is Vulnerability. Vulnerability. All right, and so I want to talk about being vulnerable, and I want you to just open your heart to what the Lord has for you this morning, and again, be praying for us. So vulnerable means to be susceptible to physical or emotional harm. It also means a person in need of special care, support, or protection due to disability, age, or potential abuse. Now, these definitions are, to me, they're incomplete. When you're vulnerable, it doesn't matter what type of attack that you are experiencing. Yeah. What that means is when you are vulnerable, then you can be attacked and someone can cause you harm. All right? And so what we have to understand is that all of us are vulnerable in one way or another. And we have all dealt with the after effects of our vulnerability. Yeah. All right? And so what we're talking about this morning is being vulnerable and how that affects us, and not only in our own relationships with others, but most importantly, how it affects our relationship with God. All right? If you are if you have been damaged, if you have been attacked, if you have been mistreated, you have many times what we have done is we have had a response to that. And that response, not only does it affect our relationships one with another, but it can affect our relationship with Almighty God. Christianity, salvation, it's a relationship, all right? And so we have to be able to be vulnerable unto God, and the enemy knows that if we're not willing to be vulnerable unto God for whatever reason, then it's going to affect our relationship with God. May God help us this morning. I want you to turn with me, Luke 17, verse number 1 and verse number 2. I'm going to read that at this time. Be praying for me. Got some deals that we're dealing with today, but the Lord knows all about that. Then said he unto his disciple, it is impossible. I want you to get a hold of this. It is impossible that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better, that's verse number 2, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Yeah. All right, and so an offense is defined as the action of attacking someone or something. What I want us to understand this morning is we're going to be attacked. Yeah. All right, if it's not the enemy, it's going to be one of his agents. All right. If it's not purposefully, then it's going to be accidentally. We are human beings, and we deal with emotion. We deal with the stressors of life, and so sometimes, even though we don't want to, we hurt one another. Right. There's a saying. It says, "Hurt people hurt people." All right, and so what happens is we are all going to deal with this scripture is talking about it's impossible that offenses will come, but woe unto them from whom they come. And so all of us have been harmed in one way or another. I want us to hold on to that. All of us have been harmed in one way or another. The enemy is going to see to it that you have been harmed in some kind of way. All right? Because he's understanding how all of this works. And I'm gonna explain that. So we all have been attacked. We all have been harmed. And so the scripture says that's going to happen. But it also says that we are not to be the ones that are doing the harming. All right? It says it gives grave consequence for someone that is doing the harming. So Christians, we strive not to be harmful in any way. If we have harmed someone, if we have done it intentionally, even if we have done it unintentionally, we want to get that fixed as soon as we can. All right? Because that is God's way. The Bible says the meek will he guide in judgment. The meek will he teach his way. All right? And so we have to learn God's way. And so when we are attacked, it does something to us. I'm going to talk briefly about that. The first thing it does to us when we are attacked, it brings us out of a place where we are no longer innocent. We lose innocence. We lose naivety. We lose gullibility. All right? We become become aware of the fact that, number one, I can be attacked. All right? You remember when you were children, if you go back, way back, and somebody for the first time said something to you that hurt you. Right. All right? What you lost there was the ability to believe that you wouldn't be attacked. You lost that. You now know that you can be harmed by the things that people say. When somebody pushed you or hurt you or talked bad about you to somebody else, you lost some innocence there. You lost the ability to trust a little bit. All right? And so that is done by design. The enemy of all souls, as the song said, hold to his God's unchanging hand. The enemy is trying to do all that he can to affect our ability to trust God, to have faith in God, to hold on to his unchanging hand, if you will. And so the way that he does that from little children, what he does is he deals with us in terms of our vulnerability. If he can cause harm to come our way, we lose some of that belief. We don't believe like we used to. We're not as innocent as we used to be. We don't think that all people are good anymore. And then what happens is the Lord, when we come to him, he has to deal with the aftermath of all of that. All right, and so I'm trying to bring this point across. The relationship with God, it is a relationship. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But if I don't trust him, if I won't be vulnerable to him, how in the world are we going to have a relationship? How can I do things through Christ if I don't trust him, if I don't believe him? May the Lord help us this morning. We learn not everybody means us well. We lose our innocence. We began to have a response to what has happened to us. And we talk about this, and we're going to continue to talk about this until we got not only people that are saved, but they are whole. Mm-hmm. We're going to keep on going by the help of the Lord until we get some not only saved people on their way to heaven, but we want you to be whole. God wants you to be whole. Yeah. All right? And so healing is what we need. Yeah. Healing is what we need. But we talked about this before with the Band-Aid message. Sometimes we are too afraid to trust God with our places of harm. And so then God can help us, and so we need to be aware of that and be asking the Lord, will you help me? Will you be with me? Will you stand by me? And will you bring me all the way through? Now, on the one hand, the person that has been harmed, something happens to him or her. But I want to talk about as well, something also happens to the one that is doing the offending. right? Have you ever noticed that if you do somebody else wrong, you don't trust nobody? Have you noticed that? And the reason why, and the more wrong you do, the more unlikely it is for you to trust somebody because you feel like you got it coming. All right? And so what we want to do is we want to get rid of that kind of behavior in our life by the help of the Lord. God can help us to get to a place where when someone does something, we're going to talk about it, when someone does something to us, we don't have to retaliate in kind. God wants to, he wants to make us and give us the understanding and the knowledge and the healing that we need, that when someone does harm to us, he said, they said in the word of God that when Jesus was reviled, he what? Reviled not again. All right? And so we don't have to, but it's going to take the Lord to help us to do it. All right? And in order for the Lord to help us, we're going to have to be willing to allow the Lord to help us. If we have hurt somebody, I'm saying this again, I'm saying it for emphasis. If I have hurt somebody as a child of children of God are not going around causing harm to other people. If we are causing harm, whether we've done it intentionally or unintentionally, we need to do something about that. Yes. The Lord can help us to get to a place where we'll humble ourselves and go back to those individuals and say, I messed up there. I'm sorry. Would you please forgive me? And whatever I need to do to make it right, I'll do it. How many people have been hindered along the way because of offenses that the people of God have done? May God help us. I know it's hard to hear. But God is wanting us to get to a place where we walk in love. We walk in humility. We walk in a place where we are completely and entirely unwilling to do harm to anybody. And if we have found out that we've done something in a moment of weakness, God forgive me. Person, forgive me. I'm sorry. I'll do better by the grace and help of God. This is the word of God this morning. I'll back it with the word. This is in here. All right? And so I want us to understand that this is how we, what kind of world would it be if we had these type of people, more of these type of people, what I'm talking about? May God help us. May God help us. God wants us to further the gospel. How can I further the gospel if I'm out here hurting folks? I'm going to say something here, and this may, again, may be hard to hear. But understand that this is to me first, and then it's to everyone else, number one. And number two is, it's to help us. All right? May God help us this morning. Lord, help us. The Lord knows all about it. But we as the people of God, we have to let the Lord help us. Because just because you didn't mean to do it, don't mean it didn't hurt. Just because you didn't mean to do it, don't mean you don't need to go back and do something about it.
Right.
May God help us.
Yes.
Lord, I don't know why they won't get saved. I don't know why they won't get saved. We're praying for them. I told them what to do. I'm telling them what to do all the time. You see? How are we treating one another? Do you know that sometimes we forget to love one another? We can hurt our own brothers and our own sisters in Christ and in Adam. Because we feel like they're tough. They can take it. They'll be all right. It's the truth, isn't it? It's the truth, what I told them. Speaking the truth in what?
Love.
In love. All right, so is love what we are about, or is it? Are you really just trying to tell them off in a nice Christian way?
Lord bless, Lord.
because they hurt you. May the Lord have mercy upon us. May he help us this morning. I want to read James 3, 17 and 19. It talks about how we are to be. And I want you to understand something. If you're not there, you can get there. That's what Christianity is about. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. If you ain't there, you can get there. But we can't get there if we don't even want to. And we can't get there if we don't make it a priority. We don't put effort and intention into getting where God would have us to be. James 3 and 17, I'm going to read down through verse number 18. It takes wisdom to do this. The Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. All right, so we're talking about winning souls. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits without partiality. I'm going to read that again. Without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. What all that means is I got to get rid of those things that would hinder me from being loving and kind and gentle and merciful. I got to get rid of all of my preconceived notions about who they might be and where they may be coming from. I've got to get to a place. The Bible said we got to become like a child. All right? Children don't look at people the same way adults do. Because they have innocence, because they just full of love, because they are different than us. And so the Bible is teaching us to go back to that state. Get to a place where you really are extending the love of God everywhere you go. And the only way you and I are going to be able to do that is if we're willing to do business with the Lord. Lord, I've been hurt in my life. Lord, I've been trampled on. What happens when we get hurt? We began to have a response to that hurt, don't we? First of all, in the natural, what's the first response when somebody do you wrong? What's the first thing you want to do? Be honest. Get them back. First thing I would say. Now we're talking about in the natural man. When you are a child of God, you become superhuman because God is in you, and so he enables you to do what he's asking you to do, which is rise above that mindset. We can't bring that mindset into Christianity and be the example, it said, without hypocrisy. Right? And so this is the person that I'm talking about the Lord. I'm going to church. I'm doing all these things. But if you hurt me, though, you going to pay. Huh? All right. We're talking about, listen, we want people saved. We want them healthy. We want them whole. We want to be healthy and whole. All right. So what has happened is, in our natural response, we're bringing those things into salvation. And we don't trust God. We're not willing to be vulnerable with God and tell the Lord, Lord, this is what I'm at. This is what I got. And you can come in here and help me with this. May the Lord help us. I'm talking about me too. I'm talking about me especially. I've done that. I've been there. And I need the Lord to help me as well. May God help us. And so what's happening is we've got to be willing to trust the Lord, because maybe we don't retaliate. There's a scripture that says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I believe that's in Matthew 5 and 38. Somebody beat me there. Go ahead and read it for me, please. Matthew 5, verse number 38. You heard it been said. Eye for an eye. Tooth for a tooth. That's the old way. Back in the Old Testament. Go ahead. I say unto you, resist not evil. Somebody smack you on your right cheek. Turn to him the other also. Go ahead and pause there for me, please. Now, how are you going to do that without the Lord? You can't do it. It's impossible, right? And so what a Christian has to do is they have to be honest with themselves. We have to be honest with ourselves. And I want you to, I don't want you to say nothing out loud. I want you to be thinking about this and doing business with the Lord. All right? What happens when somebody do you wrong? Don't answer that out loud. But what happens to you when somebody do you wrong? And then does it line up to what this is saying in the Word of God? Just think about that for a moment. If it is, then praise God, keep going. But if it is not, quit immediately and go back on the Lord. No. That is exactly not what to do. What you do is you do business with God. Lord, this is where I'm at. This is, I do pretty good with most people, but these type of people right here, they work my entire last nerve. And if I wouldn't mind if they just, I don't know where they need to go, but they need to go somewhere away from me. I'm going to tell it like it is.
Yeah.
Right? What does the Bible say about love? Well, what are the two greatest commandments in the Bible? Love the Lord your God. All your heart. All your soul. All your mind. All your strength. Right? What's the second commandment? Love your neighbor as yourself. Right? Is your enemy your... Does it say about something about loving your enemy too? Okay. You and I, Lord help us, wherever you are before the Lord, do business with the Lord. Lord, I need you to help me in this area with this issue. But in order for us to do that, we have to be vulnerable. All relationships that are healthy have a good element of vulnerability. Does that make sense? A husband and a wife, they can't have a good relationship if I got the walls up, because this is what happens. Maybe we don't retaliate, but the walls are going up. We get out the brick and we get out the mortar and go straight to work and get them walls right on up. You done hurt me? Okay, you hurt me. Okay, well, guess what? Hurt me once, shame on you. Hurt me twice, shame on me. Y'all ever heard that? So I'm getting the brick, and as soon as you do me wrong, I'm getting the brick and the mortar out, and we're going to put something up. All right, so the introvert, they're going to withdraw, right? Think about a relationship. It doesn't matter. Husband and wife, father, son, daughter, mother, son, daughter, brother, sister, whatever it is. All relationships. Somebody hurt somebody, whatever it might be, and that other person... Maybe they're Christians, so they say, I know I can't get them back, but I don't want you hurting me again.
Right.
Because what is the truth about being hurt? Real simple. It hurts. It hurts. And so a natural response is to do something about it. So I want you to be thinking about the people in your life that you're dealing with. Be thinking about that. All right? You got the introvert. They withdraw and they go away. You got the extrovert, they get offensive. You know that some of the people that you deal with, the reason why they are the way that they are is because what they're really doing is keeping you away from them. They're not mean people. They don't even want to be mean, but they don't want to be hurt no more. They are more willing for you to be hurt and get away from them, for them to be hurt anymore. And these are some of the most hurt people. They have endured some of the most egregious and harmful things you ever believe. And so when you look at them, I'm saying this for a reason. Because a lot of times what we do, and it's not wrong. I'm not saying this part of the gospel is not true. I'm not saying that. It is true. You need to be saved. You need to go to heaven. And you need to be what the Lord would have you to be in this life.
Yes.
That's all true. And that's what we hit people with. We come up to them, and then when they reject that, when they put up resistance with that, then what do? Well, I guess they're just evil and rebellious. That's what we do. But the Lord is trying to give us some more knowledge and some more understanding. He's trying to get us to understand that. Now, some people are going to reject God. That's true. But that's not God. Remember, God made us. He made us. And he said it was good. And so there is something in every human being, I don't care who they are, there's some good in them. God knows that. But you and I, we have to know that. And then we have to approach them from a place where we understand them to the point where even if they reject what is being said, even if there's resistance, maybe they're an offensive person, maybe they're a person that is introverted, whatever it might be, we don't stop there. We continue to love them. We continue to entreat them. We continue to show them the love of God. Poor adventure, that something, it says the goodness of God leadeth sinners to repentance. And so we give them that goodness. We give them that love. We extend that grace because we know that God sees the good in them and God wants to save them and he wants to help them. And not only that, we deal with ourselves in the same way. May the Lord help us. The good you don't see in you, God sees it. All the failures and the shortcomings that you have, it's not always because you're just a bad person or a hard-headed person or an evil person. A lot of times what has happened is God can't help you with that because you haven't let him help you with that because you're too afraid to let him help you with that. And your relationship, all these things, the relationship with God is founded and based on trust. And so in order to trust somebody, you got to be willing to be vulnerable. May the Lord help us. Don't throw yourself away. Don't throw other people away. Lord, you know me, Lord. You know where I've been. You know what I've been through. You know why I'm this certain area in my life, I keep running up against something and I can't seem to get through it. There's a block there. God knows why that block is there. Yes. And he can help you with that. Yes. I want to encourage you to keep going on for the Lord. The Lord will help you. All right, so we talked about the walls. We talked about the retaliation. And we talked about what God wants us to do. God's way is forgiveness. And we need him to help us to do that. There's a scripture and I'm not going to go to it. You should know it by now. But it says, it's in Philippians 4 and 13. You don't have to go to it. But it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Okay, so we need God we need to have a close relationship with God if we're going to walk this narrow way. If we're going to be effective Christians, if we're going to be pleasing and honoring unto God. And then we'll need him to help us to know how to deal with our loved ones and those that he puts in our pathway. And we need God to help us to do all of that. And so in order to do that, we're going to have to be vulnerable by the help of the Lord. Yeah. Somebody go with me to Matthew 13 and 5, verse number 6 as well. I'm almost done this morning. I appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers to me, for me. All right, it says here in Matthew 13 and 5. Some fell on stony places, didn't have much earth, for with they sprung up, had no deepness of earth. Sun came up, they were scorched, they had no root, they withered away. So what's happening is if you don't remember anything else, remember this. This is what we're talking about. The walls will keep you not only from the people you don't like, but it'll keep you from the people that you do like.
Right. That's true.
What I'm talking about is hardening of the heart.
Yeah.
What you'll notice is if you begin to allow your heart to become hard because of the offenses that have happened to you, You can't get to the ones you love, and they can't get to you. The hardness of the heart. And so what's happening here in this parable of the sower, what the devil knows is that God is always going to be dealing and working with us. He's going to be trying to insert his truth into our hearts. But what happens is the things that we have gone through have jaded us, have hardened us. And we have put walls up, and we have covered our heart over with scales and with stones or whatever it might be, because we are so concerned about, and I'm not saying it's not a good concern, it is a good concern, we're concerned about being hurt. We don't want to be hurt. The problem is it hinders us in our relationships one with another, and most importantly, it hinders us in being able to deal with God and He with us. All right? And so this is, the enemy knows this. He knows this. So you hear the word, it sounds good, you know that it's right, but for some reason, it's not making entry into our hearts. It's stopping right there. All right? And so if that's your condition, then you ask the Lord, Lord, help me, I need you to soften my heart. And to do that, you have to be willing to trust the Lord. Now, I'm going to say something here. Now, you have to take my word for it, but it's true. You can trust the Lord.
Yes.
You can trust the Lord.
Yes.
He is not like us.
Right.
He's not like us. He ain't going to do you wrong.
No,
you'll go through trial and test and all of those things, but he'll be with you. Now, he said he'll be with you even until the end. He said he won't leave you, he won't forsake you. Believe that. You can trust the Lord. So what one of the things that has to happen in our minds is we have to take God out of the and I don't know how to say it, so just bear with me. We have to put God back in his rightful place as someone to be trusted, as someone to be believed in, to love, and we don't have to be afraid of him. Alright? But what has happened is the enemy of all souls has called others to cause us harm. And what happened was we placed our trust in them.
Right.
You with me?
Yeah.
Sometimes you can't trust people.
Right.
I'm sorry. I'm not solidifying them or putting that in stone. Listen, people are on a journey. Everybody's on a journey. And so they may not be trustworthy today, but next year, by the help of the Lord, when they get saved and they begin to let the Lord work with them, then they're trustworthy then.
Yeah.
He that winneth souls is wise. All right? And so we have to understand it takes wisdom and knowing on who to trust. But when it comes to God, we can trust the Lord.
Yeah.
All right? And so I'm not telling you to put your trust in man. I'm telling you, put your trust in God. He's not going to do you wrong. All right? One more scripture in Hebrews 11 and 6. This is going to back what we already said. You might know this by heart. It says here in Hebrews 11 and 6,
without faith,
it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Again, if I don't trust him, if I'm not willing to be vulnerable to him, then I'm not going to come to him. I'm not going to come to him. I'm not going to come to him for salvation. Or maybe I'll come to him for salvation, but in my relationship with him, I don't really trust him. And so the power that's available to me, the relationship that I want to have with God, that I should have with God, is not there.
Right?
And so I begin to become disappointed. I began to start losing hope. The devil comes in. He starts talking about, well, this ain't no better than what you already had. You see? What is faith? Faith is belief, right?
Yes.
If you're going to believe something, you trust it.
Yes.
And you're willing to put yourself out there and believe that it's going to work.
Yes.
So the enemy knows that without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Yes.
Yes. So I want to encourage you this morning, or afternoon, whatever it is, to put your trust in God.
Amen.
To give God a chance. What do you have to lose?
Yes.
What do you have to lose? The Bible talks about in Isaiah 58 and 5, what all Jesus Christ went through for us. What it doesn't say in 58 and 5, and so he suffered, and it says all of that in those readings. But what it doesn't say, and it says it in the New Testament, that he went back and he's advocating for us. He's on the right hand of the Father. So he went through all the sufferings that we go through, all of them. Nobody suffered like Jesus did.
Right.
Then he died for us. None of us has died yet. We're still all here. Then he was resurrected. And then that wasn't enough. He went back to the Father and he's advocating on our behalf. What we need to understand is that he knows, he understands, he cares about us, and he wants to help you.
Yeah.
I do not know what you've been through. I can't save you.
Right.
I can pray with you. I can pray for you. I can be an example to you. I can encourage you, but I can't save you.
Right.
But Jesus can.
Yes, he can.
And not only that, that thing that you've been carrying around for years and years, and if you'll notice, it's not just inhibiting your relationship with God. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
Every other relationship you have.
Right.
Sometimes you do good for a while, but then something come up, and what it does is it touches that place in your heart,
right,
where you don't want nobody touching that place.
Right.
And you thought you had it covered over pretty good.
Right.
And somebody did something that hurt you deep. And you love them. And you care about them. And you don't want to lose that friendship. But you ain't doing no more hurting. God is a healer.
Yes,
he is. He's a healer. We think about the healing in terms of the natural body. But what he wanted to do is heal the brokenhearted.
Yes.
Set at liberty them that are bruised.
Right.
All right? Those that were captive, those that were bound, he wanted to release them. Those types of places in our heart, we are bound up. We can't even do what we want to do. We can't love and be loved like we want to. And so what God wants to do is to, he's got to have your permission. He's got to have my permission, but he wants to go into those places and begin to heal and begin to deal and to work with you. And the end result is you are a more whole. You are a more stronger person. You're able to deal with you think the opposite would happen. If he gets in there, then he might mess something up. He ain't going to mess nothing up. He's going to heal it, make it stronger. He's going to give you knowledge and understanding. If you need forgiveness, he's going to give you that. You're going to have all of those things handled. And then moving forward, you will be better equipped not only to serve him and obey him, because now your trust has grown. Now your confidence and hope in God has grown. But not only that, you can deal with somebody else that might be going through something similar and same as you had. Why? Because you need to assume something. Usually, assuming is bad, but I want you to assume anybody you come in contact, they dealing with something.
Right.
Listen to me. I'm telling you, this is how it is. Everybody you come in contact, I don't care about the mask. I don't care about the personas. I don't care about all that we do to cover up what we're really feeling inside. Some people get really ambitious, and I got all this stuff. Look at all this stuff. But what's going on in here, though? Some people go the opposite direction. Listen, forget it. I'm going to be homeless. I don't care. Nobody don't care about me, and so I don't care about nobody else. this is what you're dealing with. I want you to assume that somebody that you come in contact already know that going in, they're dealing with something. And you, if you're a child of God, you got the answer. The issue is, have you partaken of the answer yourself? Because if you're not okay, you can't help nobody else, even though you try to. And if you'll try to help somebody else, what ends up happening is you end up hurt too. May the Lord help us. I want you to know that you can trust God. In Revelation 3:20, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." It says, "If any man hear my voice and open the door," remember that portion of the scripture. If you hear his voice and you open the door, he says he'll come in and sup with you. He'll make his abode with you, which means that he will walk and talk with you. He'll be with you every single day of your life. Since I've been saved, God has been with me every single day. Amen. Even when I was hard-headed and I wasn't listening, he was there. Even when I disobeyed him, he was there. He was faithful to me. He said, "Henry, that wasn't right. Henry, that wasn't what you needed to do. And so let me work with you. Let me deal with you. I know you want to do right. I know you want to please the Lord, but you got some places." I remember this, and this has come to my mind. Bear with me a little bit longer. I was in my relationship with God, and I was newly saved, hadn't been long. And I knew something wasn't right because I didn't have the power. I didn't have the strength. The newness of it had worn off, and all the zeal and all the hype that came along with it. Yes, he lifted all the burden and all that, but I didn't have what I needed to have. I didn't have that grace that I needed. So I went to the altar, and Brother Charles Ellis Taylor met me at the altar. There's a reason why I say it like that. He's a man of God. We hype everybody else up. May as well hype the people of God up. He met me at the altar, and I'm telling him all this stuff, and the Lord had already talked to him and told him. He said, "Henry, you're going to have to forgive your daddy." That's what he said. Cut through all the stuff I was saying. Holy Spirit dropped it on his spirit and said, "Henry, you're going to have to forgive your dad." And see, what happened was, from a young age, me and my dad got at odds at around maybe 6 or 7 years old. And it wasn't just me, but when you're in the situation, you think it's just you. No, he was jacking everybody up, but I couldn't see that. All I cared about what was going on with me. We was close. We was friends. We go fishing at 3 o'clock in the morning when he got off. We had a little Ovaltine can with the little sandwiches, the bologna and cheese sandwiches. I loved that. I was waiting for that. I'd be up at 3 years old going with my daddy to the reservoir to go fishing. I don't know nothing about no fish. I don't know nothing about nothing. I just want to be with my daddy. And I loved him. But he was going through some things at that time. And so he began to push away. And so what happened to me was, at first I didn't understand it. I was, you know how when somebody pushes you away and you chase them around, you're trying to chase them around. What's wrong? What did I do? You see what I'm saying? And then after a while, you began to get resentful. This ain't right. I don't appreciate this. This ain't fair. What did I do? Even if I did something, he could forgive me. You see. And so, for years and years, our relationship was horrible. If he was talking to me, I was in trouble. That's the truth. If he talked to me, I was already in trouble. Otherwise, he wasn't talking to me. But you understand how it affects other people, what you're going through. It was affecting me. And so what was happening was he was dealing with some and needed to let the Lord bless him. And he did. Don't let me leave that out. He got saved, and it took years, and it took a lot of work with the Lord, but the Lord changed him. All right? And he became where we could have a conversation and love and hug and all that good stuff. And I'm grateful to the Lord for that. But what happened to me, though, in that time is I began to take on a mindset that was totally and completely incorrect. I thought I was justified in my position. And I try to bring that into my relationship with God. Now let's get serious, because I can't get to God with all these reservations. And so I went to the altar and I said, Lord, help me. Brother Taylor came down and said, you're going to have to forgive. And it didn't take just one time. You understand me? You understand what I'm saying? Because there are degrees of forgiveness, right?
That's true.
Just like there's degrees of faith and love and everything else, there's degrees of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And so I said, Lord, I don't want to go back out and sin. I don't want to be lost, and I don't want to be who I was becoming. Right. And so I asked the Lord, I said, will you help me? And the Lord helped me that day.
Yes.
But that wasn't it, though. I had to come back to God over and over and over again, because it was affecting every relationship that I had, not just my relationship with God. When you have been hurt, when you have been vulnerable with people, and you lose that trust and that innocence, some people are better at masking it. Some people are better at, they just won't deal with folks. They just, you know. But God has something better. I'm here to tell you this morning, this afternoon, God has something better for you. He wants to go in that place. He wants you to let him in that place. That's why I read that scripture in Revelations. He said, he's standing at the door and knock. He said, any man hear my voice, first you got to hear him, and open the door. He is not going to force himself into your life. And it may be a small degree that you let him in. Lord, but let him in is what I'm saying.
Yes.
Do you know if you open a door, a little tiny crack, somebody can get in just a little bit and they can start talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
You on the other side and they letting you know, hey, I love you. I care about you. Woo, woo, woo. You know, they got their foot in the door.
Yeah.
Right? And if you hear that and you hear that goodness and that love and you open that door a little bit more, he come on in, he'll help you out. I want to encourage you this morning, this afternoon. I keep saying this morning, y'all pray for me. Morning service. I want to encourage you that God has something for you in terms of your relationship with him, trusting him, your vulnerability.
Yes.
You can take the smallest of steps and he'll meet that.
Yes.
Bible says, draw nigh unto God, he'll draw nigh unto you. Meaning that it can be a baby step. He'll notice that. I believe that the Lord can look at you just like we look at our children and tell that you want to do right. He can look at you and do it. You ain't made no steps. He's just looking at you. And I know this is true. I know it's true. And so may the Lord help us. I hope you were able to get what I was trying to say this morning.
I want to make them in my home.
I want to be an example of the believers in all things. And I want to get the benefits of salvation. I don't want nobody saved and don't have the benefits of the relationship with God that they can have. And so the Lord deals with me along those lines. And I'm going to, by the grace and help of God, I'm going to get all that he has for me. And I want you to do that too. You pray for me, I will be praying for you. May God bless each and every one of you.